So we're starting with Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed. Vayihim Abadarach Shmuel Balwal David Lemar Hikav Shalom Skopne Amel Donosim Emachod. They were on the road, right? The news came to David Amelch, and they said that Shalom had killed all the sons of the king, and that only one of them, not one of them, remained. Vayakum Amel Vayikors because of Yitoris called him Vayishkav Arzo. He lied down on the ground. Avodav Nitzavim Kuei Begadim. All of his servants sat there. They all stood there. I'm sorry, torn of clothing. Now, again, either number one, they weren't sure, or number two, Abshalom did this on purpose. He sent messengers ahead to say that every single son was killed, that it wouldn't seem as bad when they found out that Amnon was killed, right?
Somebody who went, did this, somebody like that wants to like tell his parents like something crazy, and then be like, oh, I just want to stay shun of that. And they're like, oh, okay.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, Vayan Yonadav ben Shema Achi David. So Yonadav, the son of Shema, the brother of David. Remember, this is the evil Yonadav from up above, right? The nephew of David Amalek. It says, Yomar Al Yomar Adoni is calling to Armin Amalek and Yisu. Don't say, don't let my master say, right, that all the children of the king have been killed. Ki Amnon Levadameis, it's only Amnon that has been killed. Ki Al Piyav Shalom Haisa. This is all from the mouth of Avshalom. It was already prescribed, let's call it, from the day that he had afflicted or violated Tamar, his sister, right? That's what ended up happening over here. So, number one, you'll not have said this as if he was free, you know, of any issues. Like, I didn't have anything to do with this, as if, like, he had no problem whatsoever. When we all know that Yonadav was very involved from the beginning, convincing Amnon to do this in the first place, right?
Was there any justification at all for Avshalom to do this?
To kill his brother instead? We're going to see that when the Isha Tekoa, the woman from Tekoa, comes along, we're going to see that there was some excuses, but no, there was no definite reason for him to have done this. Not unless he thought that Amnon was a serial rapist, which clearly he wasn't at the end of the day, because it's been 2 years and nothing else has happened.
Oh, yeah, no,
might have violated, well, no, but it seems not, because seemingly the Pesukim would say so, or Avshalom would have given that as an excuse as to why he was doing this. But 2 years have passed. It's not like this guy has done this before. Either way, so it goes like this.
You can kill a serial rapist? Why don't you put him in jail?
You would try to take care of him in any way possible. You try to castrate him first, right? But
castrate.
Yeah, but there's
also for
you'd have to go into Simon Aleph and Simon Bays and Choshen Mishpat, you know, based in whatever they feel has to be done. Avshalom was probably a Talmud Chacham. We're not positive about that, but you'd assume he was somewhat of a Talmud Chacham, which means he probably would have known. But this seems to have been more out of revenge than it was out of halacha. Don't let my master should not take this thing to heart, saying that all the children of the king died. It's only Amnon by himself. And again, he repeated it because you might think that some of the sons might have died trying to defend him. No, don't think that way. None of them are dead. They're coming by a circuitous route, but they're not dead. You don't have to worry. So Avshalom ran away the other direction, to run away from David HaMelech. The Nar HaTzofa, the lookout guy, right, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that a lot of people were going from the derech from behind, meaning the back road, Mitzadahor, right by the mountain. Here are the sons of the king, said Yonadav. Kidvar Avdechol Kenayot. The way that I said it over to you, that's exactly what was. When he had finished speaking, that's exactly when the sons of the king came. They lifted up their voices and they cried. And so too the king and all of his servants, they cried a very great cry. They all put it up there and they wept bitterly after what was going on over here. Again, that was the idea behind it. Boy, it's really, really crazy over here. Anyway, it goes, Avshalom Baruch. Avshalom ran away. Vayilchol Talmai ben Amihud, Melech Geshur. He went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, the king of Geshur, who was his father-in-law, or his grandfather, I'm sorry, from his mother's side. Yisabelo ben Okol Yamin. David HaMelech mourned for his son, for Amnon, this entire time. Avshalom Baruch, Vayilchol Geshur, Vayisham Shlosh Shanim. Avshalom ran away, went to Geshur, and he was there for 3 years. Now, it is weird how many times it says Avshalom Baruch, right? I mean, it said it in the very beginning of Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Vayivrach Avshalom. Then it says it over here in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Avshalom Baruch. And then in Pasuk Lamed Ches, Vayivrach Avshalom Baruch. So what exactly was happening over here? It seemed that Absalom kept coming back to see if his father was still mourning or if he was over it already. If he was over it, then Absalom would have presented himself to the king and said, I'm sorry for what I did. I felt like I did what I had to do. But since every time he came back, Absalom came back, he saw that David HaMelech was still mourning over the fact that Amnon, he kept running back and forth, and it ended up being that he was out there for a total of 3 years. That's the idea behind it. Now,
did Absalom think this helps his case to like be the next king?
I mean, like, there was no question that the person who was supposed to be king was Amnon. Amnon was
right.
The first in line. In
right.
The
but like,
no question.
Ultimately, David HaMelech would presumably would decide on, you know, crown prince.
Yeah.
So now Amnon already did something bad. So like Absalom has a case now to be like, look, he did something really bad. You know, I didn't kill him or anything.
Yeah.
I should be next. I should be the king.
I mean, it seems clear that he was the next in line to become king. I don't know if he ended up doing it. Absalom was the next in line. There's no question about it.
Right, but I mean, before he had killed Amnon, now that he's killed Amnon, maybe he's next in line, but David HaMelech is going to pass him over too and go to the next.
I hear what you're saying, yeah. I mean, that definitely could happen. We're going to see later on that we're going to see from the Ashes Tekoa of what her line is that the other sons would want Absalom dead, not necessarily because of, you know, Goel Adam, but because they would be the next in line to become king. And going down the list, that's a good call. Right now, it seems that Absalom is going to become king. I don't have any other reason to believe otherwise. I hear what you're saying. Maybe David HaMelech, since you're not going with the Bahor anyway, and since this guy's a murderer, maybe he'll never let him, but I don't know. Maybe if Absalom did make it up. But how David HaMelech lefis l'Absalom kimicham ala Amnon kimeis. David HaMelech desired to go out to Absalom because he was consoled over Amnon's death. I mean, Amnon had died 3 years earlier. He now was worried about his second oldest son, Absalom, and he knew that Absalom was probably the next in line. I mean, there's something there. Nonetheless, there's a lot behind behind all this, yeah.
Wasn't there some sort of prophecy that the child would come from, the king would come from Bathsheba?
It could be, although we're not sure whether that prophecy was said after the story of Absalom and Amnon, or about this is in order, and this happened toward the end of David HaMelech's reign. That we're not positive about. If it happened toward the end of David HaMelech's reign, then you're right. Absalom and Amnon wouldn't have become king. If this happened a little bit earlier, then it would make a little bit, you know, it would make a little bit more sense that he didn't know. He had no idea he was going to become king. It's possible also. Clearly, the king mourned over Amnon. That means that he did not deserve the death sentence for what he did. I mean, what he had done to his sister.
Still, he could mourn as a human being.
Yeah, there's no question. But meaning, if we're quoting him as having done Avelus, then the Pasuk's trying to say that he wasn't Chayav Misa for what he did. He did sleep with his sister, but as we said before, it's probably his stepsister in some way, and stepsister meaning probably even from another thing. So it seems like he wasn't over on anything that would consider him Chayav Misa for. That made it a little bit different. The reason why David HaMelech did not put up Shalom to death for what he did, because there were no witnesses to testify. The only people that were there were Shalom and Amnon's brothers, and the Avodim who were Avodim of Avshalom, which means Amnon was there.
Yeah. Amnon and Amnon are actual sisters, brother and sister. Who are
there were no Adim that saw what had happened, although there may have been Adim for the Yichud. That might have been
there's got to be more than
Adim and the Yichud. It depends on what they did, but you're right, there was no Asra beforehand. There definitely was no Asra beforehand. There's no question that the reason why the Pesukim keep mentioning this over here is because David HaMelech was too soft how he treated all of his sons. This comes up with how he did it with Amnon. He did not say a thing to Amnon after what he did to Tamar. 2 years had passed, and that was that. And clearly, that's something that was out there, right? That was regarding Amnon. Absalom took 3 years, and he didn't do anything. I mean, David HaMelech is very, very soft with how he's treating his kids, and Adoniyahu as well. So the Navi is sort of like putting the blame on David HaMelech for being too soft and not handling it with a heavy hand, which he should have. Now, Yoav ben Tsruya knew that the heart of the king was about Absalom, that he was thinking, he was torn, that he knew that there was something, you know, he wanted to bring Absalom back, but he also knew that there was going to be some type of revenge that he was eventually going to take on Absalom, something was going to happen. It wasn't safe for Absalom anyway. Absalom had a lot of brothers who wanted to kill him. Remember, the other brothers were on Amnon's side, or at least they were with Amnon, they thought they were going to be killed. So there was a big deal against Absalom himself.
I don't think Absalom had an issue with any of their brothers, it was just he had everybody come because it was a ruse. It would be weird if he just invited Amnon.
Oh, there's no question whatsoever. whatsoever. Yeah, no question. But then they ran away. They didn't stand up Shalom's side. Well, they were obviously afraid themselves of what Avshalom was
doing. Now they are. I mean, he killed somebody. So
maybe take care of him before anything else can happen. I would assume that would be the next line, or that's something over there. But look what it says in Pasuk Beis. Vayishach Yoav Tekoa. So Yoav sent over to Tekoa. Welcome. Vayikam Yisham Yishach HaChomam. So he took from there a wise woman. Vayomer Lein, he said to her, Yisablino, I want you to please mourn. The Livshino, Big Deval. And where, you know, I don't know if it's please or now. Now it can be either one of them, right? Big Deval, you know, clothing of mourners. Vavsuchi Shemin, and don't put on any oil. You know, in other words, don't wear any deodorant or anything like that. I want you to look like this woman many days mourning over the dead. I want you to look as if you're mourning for a long time over somebody that has passed away. Now, Tekoa is a place where they're very well known for their olives. Olive is very, very well known. Olive oil, I should say, to promoting wisdom. If you drink olive oil, you're supposed to be very wise. That's the reason why it was something like that.
I just saw on Horios.
Yeah, at the very end of Horios. That's correct. A woman from Tekoa, the reason why she wouldn't call for a woman from Yerushalayim is because a woman from Yerushalayim might be known to the king. There's going to be a whole ruse of what they're going to do over here. And if it was a woman from Yerushalayim, maybe the king would know who it is. So therefore, they didn't do that. They wanted her to speak, you know, in order to go, you know, without David HaMelech knowing who this woman was until the very, very end. He wanted her to seem like she was in mourning. We learned two halachas of mourning over here. Number one, that you cannot wear freshly laundered clothing, from what it says over here, that he's abling of the livshina big day evil. That's what you have to wear. Number two, not anointing with oil means that a mourner cannot put on deodorant or bathe during that time that they're
at. I thought deodorant doesn't fall into the category of oil as far as like tissue bars.
And how you consider it antiperspirant versus, you know, those types of things. Like, is it an antiperspirant versus a scented deodorant type thing? But that deals with halacha. We're not going into that right now. And you guys might tell differently, Sardin. Yeah? She should come to the king and speak to him. Around these things, and Yoav put these words inside her mouth. Now, the basic story, the basic planning behind it was by Yoav. All the details that the woman wanted to put in, she put in. Okay, that's the idea behind what was going to be over here. David HaMelech was definitely going to be compassionate. There's no question whatsoever. She's going to present herself as a widow with an orphan and everything like that. That was to arouse mercy. But the basic story was Yoav's. She went down with the details. The woman that Tekoa said, I need to speak to the king. This isn't directly that she spoke to the king. He can't speak directly to the king, but she said, I need to speak with the king right now. That people all passed. She fell down on her face, arched to the ground. When she bowed down, save me, O king. Now, the reason why she looked down and she kept that way the whole time is because she didn't want the king looking at her face. The reason why is because she would look healthy and robust. And if she was in mourning, right, she was supposed to look like she was, you know, bedraggled, you know, something like that. And that's not the way that it was going to be. So that's why it says Batomer HaYisha. She wouldn't speak directly to the king, right? That wouldn't make any sense, but she spoke to the people. Some people say she shrieked out loud. She said to the king, Hoshia HaMelech, save me, O king. To that, the king, she caught the king's attention. So the king said, what's with this woman? And the king said to her, Malach, what's with you? Batomer HaVol, Isha Almana Ani Yamas Ishi. However, you should know, I am just a widow. Yamas Ishi, my husband has died. Okay, notice the double lashon over here. Usually, if you're a widow, that means your husband has died. It's kind of hard to be. It would be good to be a widow and your husband is still alive. It would just be very difficult. But the reason why is because says the what's called women are wont to repeat their words when describing their suffering. Gotta love that. Anyway, well, the ship called Shnei Bunin. I think so also. Your maidservant had two sons. They both fought in the field. There was no one saving one from the other. So one hit the other, right, and killed him. Now again, very, very similar to the story of Shalom and Al.
It could have been a self-defense.
Yeah, that's part of the point over here. Number one, there's a hint over here. It sounded like they're from two different husbands. She didn't mention that they were both her sons from the same husband. Rather, they could have been from different people. That again is a reference to Amnon and Avshalom being from two different mothers, that they weren't completely set in that way. She also tried to say that each one, it says, each one was unique to me and each one was special to me, and that's why they're known as Echod. Each one is a special one to me. She's clearly said it in a way in which one of them would sound innocent. He was innocent for hitting him. I mean, there was obviously a reason why you have to kill him, and there was a reason why he said stuff like that. That was that. And when she said no one was around a Matzel ben Ahem, that was a reference to a big bit of Musa and David Melech, that you weren't around to save one son from the other. How could you not have been there to be able to help one son be able to get the other? Another thing is that no one was there to separate them, a Matzel ben Ahem, but sort of a Matzel ben Ahem, that you have to choose a side, David Melech. Either you're going to kill or you're not going to kill Avshalom, but you have to choose one side or the other. You can't keep vacillating from one to the other. It's a good word, yeah.
It would seem more appropriate for this to come from somebody,
a stature,
like a Navi.
Mm-hmm.
Not, because it sounds almost disrespectful, even though it's veiled. It's the message is still the message, the point is still the point.
It's amazing that this woman had the gall to do this to the king, and that Yoav put her up to her in the first place. A Navi, the Navi never felt that he did anything wrong, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't feel he did anything wrong. Maybe it was okay what David Melech did, although we don't understand why he waited 5 years to do anything about anything.
And then what's
Yoav, right?
What's Yoav's business to get involved?
Yoav wanted Avshalom. Yoav clearly was friends with Avshalom, and he clearly had some type of shaykhus to him, although later on he goes on David Melech's side. But he clearly had something with Avshalom. He wanted him to become king for whatever reason Avshalom had.
He wanted Adoniyahu in the end.
In the end, he picked Adoniyahu because of what had happened with Avshalom, right? But I mean, he was picking sides. He probably was going for the person who was the less close to the king, you know, because he knew himself that David Melech had already prescribed his death warrant. He's just waiting for the time.
No, because in that.
Remember, Yoav is killed as one of the three.
But that was like the situation. Right, but that's something that happened 40 years before David died. So I don't think, I mean, like, so he's going to be loyal for 40 years to somebody who's like, oh yeah, he's got a standing death warrant against him. It was probably something that...
I don't know, yeah. David Amal kept this in his heart for those 40 years.
No, but at the
end, told Shlomo.
Right, but the reason was because he killed Amasa, I thought. Which happened
there was
like
a double
year before.
Let's see when we get up to it. I believe it's going to be definitely for that. David Amal had already said to Yoav that you should not be saved and all the curses, etc. By the way, now, the whole family has gotten up against your maidservant, referring to herself. Give the one who killed his brother, and we will kill him for the soul of his brother, Shaharag, that he had killed. And we will destroy all of the inheritors. And that means they'll extinguish my last coal. There will be no name and no remnant left for my husband on the face of the ground. That's in Pasuk Zion. So she's saying, like, putting it around. So number one, they're forcing me. Certainly there's no way to force the mother. I understand that a Gol Adam is important, but a Gol Adam should not force the mother to reveal the hiding place over here.
A immediate relative, or how distant can a Gol Adam
be? It can be anybody who's willing to take it on for themselves.
So a fourth cousin who decides to do it, can
in theory, if everybody else says no, meaning the first people get the first rights, and then everybody else comes after that. It's clear, though, she said, that there's money involved over here, right? In other words, there's a bias. They said they don't want a Yoresh because they want to take the money for themselves. Because who's going to get it? It's not the wife that gets the money right now. The sons have already inherited the money from the father, and the sons are gone. It doesn't go to the mother. It goes to the brother's father's father, and then to the father's other sons, meaning those cousins who are saying, oh, let's kill the guy.
Because there's a vested interest.
Yeah, there's a vested interest, and so too over here. Everyone else over here is against Avshalom because they have a vested interest. They're not telling you that Avshalom's Chayav Misa because they mamash feel he's Chayav Misa. They're telling you that he's Chayav Misa because they want the kingdom. That's what she's trying to say. She's saying there's something, there's a reason why there's a bias over here, and that's that. So now, and she was also trying to claim that this is the remaining coal, meaning literally there is going to be nobody left. If nothing else happens over here, right, there's nobody left for me to be able to have. So don't think maybe I can marry somebody else, I can have another kid. No, there's no one left. I'm not getting married again. This woman was trying to say, the king was non-committal. Said to the woman, listen, go to your house. I will command concerning you. In other words, I'm going to investigate the matter. Let me find out what's going on. Now, that did not go well with the girl. She didn't want that. She wanted a guarantee that he was going to live.
It seems that Vani Atzavelech, I will make a command regards to you, meaning I will
command whatever needs to be done. But she knew the story was a ruse. This was not what she wanted. She wanted a line from the king that would say, I swear that everything will be good with your son or whatever it is, so that she could turn back at him and say, that's for Avshalom. That's what she wanted. She doesn't want to just find out what's going on over here. That means he didn't get it yet. But Tomer Yishat Kohi Zal HaMelech, Alayah Dunia HaMelech HaAvon, the sin is upon me, my master the king, Al Beis Avina, my father's house, HaMelech HaKizo Naki, the king and his throne should be blameless. Now that's a weird line. Anyway, you cut it over here. It's about... five different perushim that he brings over here, the Niamloi, to try to say over here. But the simple shot is she wanted to press the king further, and she was saying, listen, O king, this is my fault for going a little bit further, and you, it's blameless, but for me, I need to speak out a little bit more. Can I say a little bit more in front of you to maybe convince you to do something else? Okay, that's the idea of what she was trying to say. Right? The king said, so those who speak to you, they saw a lie. All right, you're being bothered, so bring that person to me. He will no longer touch you. That's still not enough. That's not a guarantee for the kid. It's not a guarantee for the kid. So, in other words, if they vent their anger to you, if they try to do something to you, bring those people to me and I'll take care of them. To which he said, she said, that's not enough. Right? Remember God. Remember that God? And therefore, do not allow there to be so much for the Gol Adam to destroy, and that way my son will not die. I swear by the name of God, said David HaMelech, that not a hair from your son will fall to the ground. Not one thing will happen over here to your son. Okay, now that's exactly what she was waiting for. But again, what was her line over here? So some say that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compassionate and kind, please be compassionate and kind to me. Second thing is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Ari Miklat in order to protect people to make sure they wouldn't be killed, you should do the same for my son to allow him to have an ear miklat and not be killed. Number three.
Why don't they just send him to the ear miklat?
I'm sorry?
Why didn't David just say, okay, send him to the ear miklat?
I think that's basically like what, you know, she was trying to say, like, why not send him to an ear miklat? Can you give me protection or whatever, something like that? But again, she wanted him to say something. She wanted him to say that line, and he said it. In the end, he said it. There's another one, right? Cain and Hevel. I mean, things can happen. God gave Cain a sign, so he shouldn't be killed by anybody else. You should give my son a sign that he shouldn't be killed by anybody else. The other one is, I beg you to remember how HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you by Shaul HaMelech. Remember how HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you by Shaul? Please help my son in the same way. Do a little bit more. You've got to be careful.
What?
The Gol Adam could do anything. Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Just bringing up mercy and saying, there's Rachman, please have Rachman on my son. Don't let my son go down or anything like that.
You brought up Bathsheba. I mean, you could bring up that.
Yeah, you could have brought that up also. I mean, I hear that. Shaul HaMelech would be the easier one. But Shaul HaMelech is the famous one. Bathsheba might not be something that people know about, but Shaul, like, you were saved from Shaul, right? To save my son as well. But the woman said, I beg you, right, let your shifkla speak to my master the king something. And he said, speak. Okay, you can speak whatever you want. Why would you think such of the people of God? Right? And I mean, you speak, the king speaks of this thing, shame, as if you're guilty. Since you have not yet brought back the one that you have let go away, the banished one, so to speak. In other words, she looks up and she says, look, I mean, you realize now that everything I said was an allegory and that everything was referring to you and that really I'm referring to Avshalom over here and that you should order for his return. That this word, right, this is the line that you sent for yourself and you have to realize what this is doing for you. So that's what she said. Kimos numus, right? The kamayim and igonim artso asher lo yasefu. We will all surely die. Like what that falls to the ground that will never be gathered up again. Lo yisa Elohim nefesh. God does not favor one soul over another. Therefore, the king should find a way that none should be thrown away from him. Now, there's some crazy lines over here. Four reasons why David HaMelech should forgive Avshalom. Number one, which is a ridiculous claim in my eyes, but I don't know what it means. Why kill a person who's eventually going to die anyway? A person's going to die anyway, so what's the difference? Okay?
Interesting thing.
That's the obvious answer. The obvious answer is he's a murderer. That's the obvious answer. Number two is just like water is poured on the ground and it's impossible to collect afterward, you can't get everything back, you're not going to be able to bring back Amnon's soul by killing Avshalom. So what's the point in killing Avshalom if you're not going to get anything back? Now, I hear that claim.
Maybe the most numbers are saying that let Hashem take care of him. We're all going to die eventually, so God will take care of him however
he wants. That's the next line. The next line is that God will let the guilty person, will not let the guilty person escape punishment or anything like
that. These are all arguments.
Obviously, that's that, right? Yeah, it's some in and of itself. And number four is also this. it wasn't he that killed them. It was the youths. Now, Avshalom had told his Avadim to kill Amnon, but nonetheless, Avshalom himself was not chayav for killing anyone. He didn't actually do it. It was somebody else. So that was the line over here. And maybe Choshav Machshavos, think of ways in which he might not be chayav for murder for what he had done over here. Now, nonetheless, none of these are good tainas. I mean, maybe the last one in which he didn't do it, but he sent everybody else. Nonetheless, an Eved being sent by his master to kill someone. But we don't know if they were Abdi Kananim or if they were Abdi Ibrim. It could also be that they were Ne'arim, right, and they were just young men. But nonetheless, it's kind of hard to say no to the crown, the prince. It's very difficult to say that. It could have been, it was almost like an onus. So they wouldn't be responsible. Avshalom would have been responsible. Nonetheless, what she was saying is that if you kill him, he's going to be separate from you in Olam Haba. He should be together with you in Olam Haba. Do tshuva. There's no way to bring back the dead anyway, so what can you do? As much as you want to take revenge, revenge doesn't do anything. Pasuk Tezvav. Ve'ato, asher bosi l'davar l'melech Adoni ha'davar hazeh, when I came to speak this matter over the king's ear, uni ha'am, I was afraid of the people. Ve'ato m'shevchosa ha'davar no l'melech u'ayasa ha'melech ha'davar ha'maso. And your maidservant said, you know what, I'm going to speak to the king. I was afraid of telling anybody else because of what would happen. I thought maybe the king would have the right mindset to be able to judge the situation and know what to do. Ki'ishma ha'melech l'hatzol ha'maso, the king will hear to save his maidservant, Mikafo Ish Lahashmidosi, from the hands of the man who wants to kill me. That's Beni Yachad Minachas Olim. So to my son from the inheritance of our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And she was. In the allegory, she was speaking that she was frightened. And now she's saying, it happens to be that I myself am afraid of what was going to be. You know, I went ahead and I said this in front of the king.
She's afraid of, what happened to her?
That's what it looks like.
She's not just saying, forgive me for being doing.
Yeah, and I think that was the line that she was trying to say. But Tomer Shivchoskla, Yenno. Your shibcha said, "Yanot dvar Adoni haMelech lemnucha." Let the word of my master, the king, be a reassurance, so to speak. Ki kamalach Elohim kein Adoni haMelech. The way of a malach, of an angel, that's the way my master is. L'shmoa tov ha'ra, to hear the good and the bad. Hashem lekach yimach. May God be with you. May God be with you, and let everything be good to determine the correct halacha of the situation, to know what to be with. V'yana Melech yomar liyisha. So the king answered and said to the woman. Now he was listening the whole time. You notice how few words David HaMelech said over here the whole time. Said, "Al not tachachadim yani. I don't want you to hold back anything from me right now. Devorah shor anochi shoel osoch. Something that I ask you to do. Okay, I don't want you to withhold. I'm going to ask you some question. I want you to answer me. But don't worry. Usually, Dabin al dinim melech. Please speak, O my master, the king." Notice she did not say, "I will never hold anything back." She didn't know. She might have to hold something back. She didn't know.
Yeah, but it's as if she's giving permission to the king.
Yeah, I mean she is, but it's a different wording. It's just a smart answer. Yomah melech, hayad yoiv b'tchol b'chozos. Was the hand of Yoav together with you in all this? But Tana Ishva told me, by your life, my master the king, if there was another man to the right or the left of everything that I spoke to my master the king, now it's true, your servant Yoav had commanded me, he put in the mouth of your maidservant all these words, right? So in other words, I can't turn right or left. The answer is yes. Yoav was involved, and he was the one over here, okay? The reason why David HaMelech was able to figure this out, number one, you didn't notice that he already had a mushel given to him before? And even if it was a little bit afterward, David HaMelech is hearing these
mishalons,
right? And he thought, if the mushel happened before, and this is after, Bathsheba was already there, he saw this woman, he heard her come in, and he's just like, this doesn't sound right. There's something wrong over here.
Yeah, but I mean...
And that's why he's so short and curt, and he wasn't clear. And that's probably why he even said the words, "No one's going to touch your son." He probably was suspicious the entire time and didn't think there was even a son. He just didn't know what she was referring to. Maybe he even knew the entire time. "No one's going to touch your son." And maybe he's trying to say himself, "I'm not going to touch Avshalom."
And he knows
exactly what he's saying.
Years. He could read him like a book.
I would say that that's exactly what was happening over here. He just saw, no woman has the rebuke ready, just like that. This is clearly planned and thought out beforehand. Yoav did this in order to eventually come around to the main issue. My master is as wise as the wisdom of an angel of God, to know everything that goes on in the land. Oh, she's really giving it over to the king, huh? Chavalov over here, it says, okay, so King turned over to Yoav and said, okay, I've seen that you've done this then.
Was Yoav in the room?
Wait, what word do you have in Chavalov? Is it a Sisi or a Sisa?
Sisi.
I have done this thing. Yeah? Should be. V'lecha, shave the Nara of Shalom. So now go, return the Nara of Shalom. Okay? You clearly wanted it, so bring him back. So Yoav fell with his face to the ground when he bowed down and he blessed the name of Yoav. Now I know I found favor in your eyes, because you have done the word of your servant instead of anything else. Now, it would have been, right, it's clear, Tavanel did not have to say to the woman, right, you're right, I'll bring him back. The woman has nothing to do with this. He sent the woman away and said, all right, get out of here before I do kill you for what you just did to me. Okay, and he turned to Yoav and he said, all right, if you want to, you can go bring him back.
I don't know that he said it before I kill you. Maybe you're just like, all right.
Oh, wait. There is an Asisa. There's two over here. Okay, here we go. Asisi is the way that it's written in the thing itself. David said, I will do as you suggested. Others say you read it as Asisa. David said, Yoav, you've done this thing. Okay? If you start a mitzvah, then go finish it. Go get Avshalom. Avshalom is going to be brought back over here. Right? So that's the idea behind it. I'm sorry, what did you say, Benjamin?
What did we say that he trying to kill the woman and you just said?
All right. No, he did it. It's just clear, like he just excused the woman and got her out of there. I would have been mad. But Yaakov Yoav Ayelet Yishur. So Yoav got up and went to Yishur. But Yoav is Avshalom Yerushalayim. You brought Avshalom Yerushalayim. Yamar Melech Yisovel Beisol. Let him go back to his house. I don't want him seeing my face. But Yisovel Avshalom Beisol. Panei Melech Lo Ra. Avshalom went back to his house. He never saw the face of the king. The king said he wanted him back into Eretz Yisrael. He never even said to bring him back to Yerushalayim. Yoav brought him over there, but David Melech made sure that there was no way he was going to be in front of the king itself. David Melech wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Avshalom was not pardoned, right? He was not pardoned for what he had done over here to Amnon. He didn't want anybody to think that Amnon should have died and that Avshalom was justified in killing him. That did not happen over here. So David Melech said he still killed a person that should not have been killed, and therefore he will not see my face. Now, we got information about Avshalom. Like Avshalom, there was no one, right, who was as beautiful in all Bnei Yisrael.